Welcome into the Flight Plan Podcast, where we do not focus on the negative parts of anything. Four downs edition, so we're going to pick up four key moments or plays from the game and break it down. 29-27 was the final on Sunday. Bucks beating the Jets after a wild fourth quarter in which the Jets briefly led after an incredible Will McDonald field goal try, block, and return for a touchdown. I'm Tim McMaster. He's Zach Rosenblatt. Please like the show wherever you're watching or listening. Give us a five-star review. Zach, we scheduled this thing way early, 8:30 a.m. for those who are tuning in. We appreciate it. There are a few of you at this point. Hopefully the number grows. But I'm saying that because you have to fly back to New York from, or back to New Jersey from Florida. But we're on time. Like we scheduled the thing for 8:30 and we actually started right at 8:30. Maybe this is our key.
Yeah, I know. I popped awake at like 7:45 or something like that. I'm like, oh crap, I got to get ready for the pod. So maybe something about it being a morning pod really just got me going early. I will say there was a big win this weekend, and it was me for the dinner I had on Saturday night, where I was at this Italian restaurant that had a mozzarella cart that they make the mozzarella table side. It was beautiful. It was delicious. It was a pound of mozzarella between me and Andy Vasquez. And our server, we order it, and he's like, all right, I'll get some boxes ready in case you guys want to take it all home because it's a lot of cheese or whatever he said. And it was the first thing that came out. We were starving, so we ate all of it between us. And so I ate a lot of cheese on Saturday, some pasta. It's called Rocca in Tampa. So
Yeah, we're still looking for sponsors. So, you know.
Yeah, Rocca. Hey, if you want to sponsor us with your mozzarella carts, we're in.
Just mozzarella. Was there some balsamic on there?
Was there tomato slices?
Was it like a caprese?
Yep. Okay. There was fresh tomatoes that they cut up. There was basil, some balsamic, some oil, some salt. It was absolutely delightful. Yes.
Yeah. That sounds incredible. All right. You know, it wasn't delightful most of the game on Sunday. But there were a few moments, of course, and there was the comeback, and that's going to be first down today because we are starting positive. The comeback, 17 points down in the fourth quarter. They get a touchdown. They chip away. Well, they get two touchdowns. Tyrod Taylor starts to play a little bit better. It looks like it's all for naught because Baker breaks off a long run. They're in field goal range. It's going to put Tampa Bay up two scores again late in the game. But Will McDonald, no doubt, Herculean effort, like an amazing play, jumps over the line, blocks the kick, returns it for a touchdown. Everyone's going wild. And we'll get to what happened after that later. But for a moment there, although I think my text to you, Zach, was like, oh my God, they're still going to lose. But for a moment there, like, it was exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I love Will, not Will, Garrett Wilson had a great quote about Will McDonald's play after the game where he's like, it just shows you, I'm blanking on the quote. It was basically like,
He said it was a Will.
And he's like, and then he realized he was talking about Will McDonald. He's like, I meant Will Power. Like, it took a lot of Will Power.
Right.
And Will was getting close, like throughout the game. I can't remember what game it was, but a couple of years ago, I think it was his rookie year. He had a field goal block that like touched the tip of his fingers and they won a game. I can't remember which game it was, but you know, Aaron Glenn said that during the week, like Will kind of pushed to rush the kicker in a way. And you know, if you watch the play, he didn't get any resistance. He jumped over those two guys with ease. Maybe they just didn't expect him to go over them, which I guess is a unique thing to do. And like the athleticism, the length, like that's like what makes Will McDonald special in a way. I would say he didn't play great the rest and the other ways in the game. Like
he admitted that
on defense. Yeah. But that was a special play. Like, I mean, my whole lead of my story was about Aaron Glenn's dancing on the sideline, which went viral, maybe like half for reasons, the fact that they lost in the end. But, you know, I wrote in my story that it was like, I called it gesticulating, which is a word I like using when I can. And it felt to me like all I could think of was like, it felt like he was being exercised of all like the demons of like all the losing that was happening and all the bad plays. And he was like, finally I can celebrate something. Like that's kind of like the vibe I got. But yeah, you know, I they deserve credit for that comeback. Certainly. This game felt like before Tyrod's pick six, which we'll get into, obviously they were only down by 6 or 7 points. And it felt like a miracle that they were going to go into halftime down by one score because they were getting outplayed pretty significantly. And, you know, the Bucks were making loads of mistakes and the Jets weren't cap. I'm not trying to step on the later stuff, but anyway, so it felt like they were being outplayed and outclassed this whole game against a banged up Bucks team. And then, you know, then the second half, they kind of slowly start chipping away at it. Tyrod, bad first half, much better second half. He gets into a rhythm. He's hitting Garrett Wilson quite a bit. The running game really never came about, but Tyrod in the second half versus Tyrod in the first half was like night and day. And so they worked their way up the field. Nick Folk made his field goals. And, you know, in that fourth quarter, they have the Garrett Wilson touchdown, which was a really good play from Tyrod, just like a quick hitter. The Lazard touchdown, like it was a really roller coaster of emotions for the Lazard game because they like went to him on fourth. And I forget what it was. I want to say it was like fourth and 10 and they didn't even throw it past the sticks. And so it wasn't converted. And then they tried throwing it to him in the end zone and it failed. And my initial reaction was it's a bold strategy to, you know, run a play for Alan Lazard in the end zone. And then the very next play, Tyrod makes this great play where he evades pressure, runs the line, lasers it. It gets just past the Bucks defensive back and Lazard catches it. It was reviewed.
I think he caught it.
I think he caught it. I think there was a case to be made he didn't, but it wasn't conclusive enough because he caught it, feet in the end zone, and then he like by the end is when he started like bobbling it. But I mean, good moment for Lazard because he's had a rough off season and start the season. And so in that moment, you know, I think there was an argument to be made for going for two there. I get why they didn't ultimately, but you know, they worked their way back slowly, meticulously. The play calling got a lot better offensively. Defense still did not play particularly well at the end of the game, as we know, and we'll get into. But the Will McDonald play, I think, you know, part of the negative part of this discussion will come momentarily, I guess, because it only happened because of some bad defense. But before it, but you know, that was an amazing play, like the kind of play that you don't really see very often, although there was a lot of field goal blocks in the NFL this week. Jordan Davis scored a touchdown, the big man. There's a couple more.
The Browns blocked a kick in the final minute to set up their own field goal to win it, which is pretty awesome.
The Browns beating the Packers, too. Big upset.
I picked the Packers in that with the big spread, too.
I think everybody did.
Learned my lesson again.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, second down. The trenches, which was a loss, both sides of the ball for this Jets team. Aaron Glenn made the argument after the game that while the Jets only had one sack in this game against the depleted offensive line, that they did cause all those holding calls. Now, the twist of that is they had a drive. The Bucks had a drive in which they had seven penalties, five of them were holding calls, and they still scored. Like, one holding penalty is supposed to be the drive killer, right? That's what the holding call is. They had five of them, and they still managed to score points. Now, we will get to why on third down, but just up front, the Jets, you know, couldn't get to Baker Mayfield and couldn't run the ball. Both sides of the ball, they lost the battle against a depleted offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, you made the point that needs to be made. Like, his point was about the holding calls, which broadly is fair. Like, holding happens when like an offensive line often is trying to save themselves. But to have five holding penalties on the drive and they still score at the end of it, kind of negates any positivity you can bring from that. That was one of the weirdest drives in a game I've ever covered. Like, the Jets had a couple penalties of their own that drive. It felt like it went on forever and the refs were very flag happy in that first half.
It really did go on for like the first quarter was two drives, right? Like the Jets went 14 plays, got a field goal and then that drive. And I think the first quarter was over.
Yeah. My wife was watching with our family and she said, do they get paid by the flag was her reaction because it was wild. I mean, at a certain point, just let the guys play. Like that was absolutely insane. But I mean, it fell apart because of a penalty, obviously, which we'll get to, but, the pass rush not being there. I mean, like I said, Will McDonald didn't have any pressure. I mean, they're banged up on the defensive line. You're playing Michael Clemens as a starter. Brady McGregor is playing a lot of snaps. He had some bad missed tackles and pressures. And, Tyler Barron's getting a lot of snaps, but like broadly, even when they were getting to Baker Mayfield, they were not getting him down, which is a problem for everybody because he's good at getting away from that. But they struggled in that regard. And then on the other side, like Breece Hall had a bad game, just really bad game. And Braylon Allen looked okay. They got him some reps on one of those scoring drives. He had like three good runs in a row. I think they need to get Braylon more involved. Like I know he's not like a big play threat ultimately, but I do think he runs pretty hard. And when you need those tough yards, he has been struggling more on like short yardage plays than you'd want. But Tyra Taylor should not be leading you in rushing yards. Ultimately, I think he had like 38 rushing yards or 48, and that's not good enough. And so, you know, those are things they got to clean up. Like this is supposed to be a running team. In the last 2 weeks, they did not run the ball well. So you have the Dolphins coming up, a team that's also 0-3. You need to run the ball better. And, you know, Isaiah Davis wasn't really involved either. He was in on third downs, but he was never really an option. I don't think he did a great job picking up blitzes, by the way, either. Like Tyrod was under pressure a lot in that game, which was another problem. You know, you know going into this game that Todd Bowles is going to blitz. And they did not seem prepared for that at all. I think Tyrod was hit, I believe, 10 times. Sacked four
sacks,
and I think he was pressured 14 or 15 times total. So some of those are on, like, you know, the guys are supposed to pick up the blitzer, but also the offensive line just did not do a good job. John Simpson put it on himself for the strip sack. He also put it on himself for the pick six because Tyrod was being pressured on that. But the O-line had a bad game. Like they had a great week one, I think a mixed bag in week two, and they were bad in week three. And you hope they lean more towards the week one than the week three going forward because, you know, Justin Fields, who knows if he's back this week? I would assume he is, but you never know with concussions. But, you know, he's not really good historically when under pressure. So the O-line needs to be a lot better.
I mean, the schedule gets a little lighter next week, no doubt, the Dolphins. Yeah. And what we've seen, the last 2 weeks has just played. You know, the Bills are 3-0. The Bucks are now 3-0. The Bucks have kind of done it with mirrors and fourth quarter charades, but they are 3-0. All right, third down. This week's version of dumb mistakes and stupid stuff. Let's focus on a couple. I'll flip this around because we were just talking about the interception, and that was one of these because the pick six was real key. And the blame can be shared here. You mentioned John Simpson, and there was pressure there. But Tyrod Taylor attempting to throw it from the far hash mark across the field to the sideline to a, when he threw it, open receiver. But then on the other end of the pass, Garrett Wilson, he's just standing there waiting for the football. And he didn't come back to it at all. He didn't fight for it. He's standing with his hands out. I'm holding my hands out if you're watching us on YouTube. And then suddenly the defender just streaks in front of him and is off and running. I mean, it was just, you know, it was a situation where if they get, you know, even 3 points, you feel a lot different going into halftime and suddenly it's a pick six.
I mean, or you get nothing and you feel better going into halftime.
Even that. Yes, even nothing.
But you know, Mason Taylor was open in the flat. Like in the moment, it looked like maybe he was targeting Mason Taylor because he was in the same general area and he was wide open, but he clearly like decided he was going to get, he made it. He should have just hit the check down. I think Tyler Johnson was also open elsewhere. It was just a comedy of errors. It was like a classic Jets mistake. You know, I'll avoid saying that the three worded phrase that Aaron Glenn hates for a moment, but that was like a classic Jets error before halftime. And it was just an absolutely brutal mistake. And like, you know, the most costly one of the game, like Tyrod's strip sack was not good either. He holds onto the ball too long. That's Tyrod. He did definitely in this game too. You can't lose the ball ultimately. And, you know, I'll say like Tyrod, I was pretty impressed with him post game. He had some really good, you know, sound bites. But I think Tyrod was kind of what you expect Tyrod to be. He mixed in some crazy mistakes with holding onto the ball too long with some really good plays and smart, you know, aggressive and tough in the pocket and things like that. So he's a quarterback you can win with if he has the right support around him. I don't know that he necessarily did in this game. Those are the two biggest mistakes. Obviously, another one was the Sauce defensive pass interference on that drive with the five offensive holding penalties. It was, I don't know if it was
third actually, and 29.
Yeah, it was a nitpicky call probably. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Baker was clearly going after it. And, you know, the throw he made wasn't really close. And so Sauce, you know, ultimately put himself in position to get called for that. and it cost them. I mean, that was a first down on third and 29. The drive would have ended there. So that was a big one. And you know, as the game went on, there was just a lot of the little things, missed tackles, like so many missed tackles. I mean, like I said earlier, the Will McDonald play only happened because they just let Baker Mayfield roam free on a 33-yard run on a drive where they needed to stop them. And that was absolutely disastrous. And then you come right back after that great Will McDonald play. And I don't know if we wanted to get to this now, but it was kind of counts it towards mistakes. But
yeah,
like they had no issue going down the field on that last drive. Like the Jets were celebrating like they won. I do not blame you for celebrating that play because it was amazing. But it did not feel like they reset quickly enough. They go back out. Like just so like Sterling Shepard running all over the Jets is not a great look because that guy has not. Like Sterling Shepard was really fun player in his prime, but he's the Giants basically tried to retire him a couple years ago. Like, and he's getting all these yards after the catch. Emeka Egbuka makes a great play at the sideline. The Bucs were targeting Sauce Gardner, by the way, not on that track.
Yeah.
Sauce did not
have a great game.
Sauce left with for concussion protocol. I don't really know why they put him back in the game at the very end of that drive. He even said he didn't really see everything that was happening. And he said he didn't know what, like line they were supposed to get to for their field goal mark, like what you'd wanted to prevent them from getting to for a field goal. It didn't wind up mattering anyway. Zaire Thomas winded up getting a bunch of playing time because of that. But that last drive was like they went up the field. Like it was as if the Bucks like had taken their foot off the gas, which it felt like to me. And then they put their foot back on it and did not have any issue with the Jets pass defense, which remains an issue. Any criticism for Steve Wilkes and Glenn for this defense is absolutely warranted because, you know, the Bucs were completely banged up on the O-line, as we talked about. Mike Evans even had to leave the game with an injury at one point, and none of that mattered. Like, they were not, the tackling was an issue, the approach was an issue, there were some issues in coverage, there was no pressure. They did a decent job in the running game, but Bucky Irving still was getting past some tackles that needed to happen. And, you know, it should be said, Quincy Williams left the game with a shoulder injury. He was actually one of the only ones I thought that was playing particularly well before the injury, too, so that was a big loss. And then so you're playing Marcelino McCurry Ball a lot, or you're playing Kiko Maui-Goa a bunch, and they're ultimately outmanned. This is going to be a team now that their holes are all their holes on the roster are the ones where guys are getting hurt, which is like remarkable, like bad. And it's all stuff we pointed to before the season: lack of depth at linebacker, defensive end, wide receiver in particular, and you could argue safety too because Tony Adams didn't play, but Malcolm Moore was fine, I guess. Probably made some mistakes on the back end, but yeah, it was. Just and this is going to get into when we go start talking about Aaron Glenn. Like this felt like a lot of Jets losses I've covered. This was no different. Like they fought back, but they ultimately lost because of all the dumb mistakes they made and a lot of strange play calling and lack of execution, which has been the issue with this team for a long, long time.
And we didn't even mention that Michael Clemens had a 15-yard penalty. Which is just sure kind of a given, right?
But I mean, that wasn't like a costly penalty, and you didn't hear from him the rest of the game, which is a win in the Michael Clemens regard. Like nobody's blaming Michael Clemens for their loss today, which is progress, I guess.
True, true. All right, fourth down, Aaron Glenn. We're going to talk about the post game press comments because you and me had kind of the same takeaway. I teased it off the top. One thing he said, which I'm going to play here to kick off the conversation, but I want to talk about the overall vibes of his post-game press conference, but let's start with this one.
We're 0-3. How many more games do we have left?
14.
That speaks for itself. We have a lot of games to go play, and you can build on this. You can build on this. The one thing I don't do, which I understand that New York media tries to do, is the negative parts of it, but I'm not going to be that way. I'm going to let you guys deal with that. You know, we're going to look at the things that we did well, and we're going to continue to push forward because we're going to improve and we're going to make sure we get over that hump. I do know that.
Unprovoked, Aaron Glenn just saying like the media, just picking on the media.
He did it a few times. He did it a few times.
Yeah. That seemed weird, especially in the road. I feel like that's something maybe if you're going to pick on the media, pick on them at home because like the guys that are with you on the road are the real like you, Zach, the beats, right? But yeah. Beyond that, he said in the press conference that there's no such thing as moral victories on this team. And then it was a real positive press conference about like how well we played and what great moments. And this isn't the same old Jets. And I'll say it because you didn't say it. and all these different things. It just struck me as an odd take.
Yeah. The press conference, like, look, I don't blame him for being positive. Like, look, from his perspective, he's a coach that is walking into the situation. He's trying to build it up. He knows that this team's shorthanded ultimately, and he's not going to fully come out and trash his team, all of that. Like, I completely understand all of that, but you can't really say no moral victories and then spend not only the press conference doing that, but, like, you know, coming onto the field clapping at the end of the game when they lost. And the dancing part, like, it's overblown. Like, that was a fun moment and he deserved to dance, but he was clapping coming on the field when the game was over and they had lost. And, you know, he's trying to encourage his team and they're a young team. And I thought Tyrod was more eloquent and, you know, poignant even about why to be encouraged. And, you know, he was talking about, you know, it's really hard. You know, we're 0-3. We lost. Every day we put on our pads, our helmet, our shoulder pads, and we strap in and we try to do our best. And sometimes it doesn't work out because, like, you know, but we're laying the groundwork for this team to become what, you know, I believe it'll become and all that stuff. I thought he did a better job of, you know, not like focusing on everybody else being negative, rather focusing on, like, internally, like, yeah, we have stuff to correct, but we know going forward, you know, we are these are the building blocks for the future. And, you know, Quinnen Williams, I think his quote he had was pretty notable to me after the game, because he was there for Adam Gase's 0-3. He was there for Robert Saleh's 0-3, and he was there for this one. And, you know, he's like, you know, basically, like, before you know it, you can be 0-10, like, and you don't want that. So we got to correct all of our mistakes. And so, you know, look, Aaron Glenn, he wants to use the media as a scapegoat for negativity, which I get it. But you have to remember, like, we're not the only ones talking about the team this way. And I actually think we've been pretty fair for the most part. You know, I think maybe last week was an overreaction in terms of just how bad they got lost, how bad they lost to a Super Bowl contender. But, you know, I've only been covering this team. This is my fourth year. Rich Samidi's been covering them for 40 something. Kaz has been covering them for 20 something. Andy's been covering them for like 10, and Al and Waz and all these people have been covering them for a long time. Like, the way they lost this game, he kept saying, like, we're not the same team. Well, like, maybe they aren't, but not based on anything I saw in that game. Do I believe that? Like,
right,
they had many losses like that with Saleh. Like, I'm sorry. Like, everybody's having short-term memory loss if they believe that. They had so many games where it was either this or the opposite. It was either they started terribly, fell behind, came back, fell short in the end, or they started fine, took a big lead, blew it, and then lost in the end. Like, it was one or the other with Saleh over and over again. They had the talent the whole time. They just kept on making mistakes. This team has more talent than the Jets did in 2021. This team has more talent maybe than the Lions team did in 2021 that he talks a lot about. And I think he's probably building off his experience with that Lions team in 2021 where they were losing every game, but they were competitive. But, you know, they also came out when they were hired and said, we want to win and we want to win now. And so you're 0-3. So until you see, like, if they win against the Dolphins next week, then they'll absolutely deserve praise depending on how it goes and all that stuff. But, you know, I just don't get the constant coming at the media for being the, you know, you guys are the ones that do same old Jets. You guys are the ones that want to focus on the negative and all this stuff. But, like, you're 0-3 and they lost that game because of, they played terribly for a lot of that game. So, like, you know, they need to play well on both sides of the ball at the same time. They need to play well for four quarters, and they have not done that yet. And so until they do, like, why should we think they will? Like, there's, you know, all we can base our analysis on is what we see and what has happened. Now, we can't predict what is going to happen. Every time we try doing that, we're usually wrong. So based on what I've seen, I have not been encouraged necessarily. I think they showed some signs of progress for sure in their comeback. But you need to do that in the first quarter. Like, how many podcasts do we have the last couple of years just, like, going crazy about the fact that they were just never prepared for the beginning of games? And I personally am tired of seeing that. So I want to see good football. I want the Jets to win at the end of the day. I really do. Because these podcasts are not fun to do after they have these terrible losses. So, you know, the Dolphins game is going to be a real big turning point for the season, because all the people that are positive on this game, if they lose to the Miami Dolphins, who are 0-3, I think a lot of that positivity is going to go away. If you beat the Dolphins, you can start building on that. You have a schedule that doesn't look crazy hard broadly. I mean, you have the Cowboys, who are pretty banged up. You have the Broncos in London. The Broncos haven't played that well. And then after that, it's like a stretch of games against winnable opponents. So the Dolphins game is a turning point of the season, I think. So we'll see how they respond. Like, maybe he's right and they're building towards something. And we'll see that when they come out of the gates next week and on Monday Night Football in front of the entire country. And we'll find out what they're made of. Like, that's what it comes down to.
Cowboys looked really bad yesterday against the Bears. Really bad.
He landed pretty early, but yeah, they did.
All right. I threw a message in the chat about just how, you know, are people feeling better about the team today after this game, as opposed to a week ago after that Bills game. On one side of the spectrum, you have Bald God, who says, I don't see Glenn lasting more than 3 years.
Yikes.
And then Jared Johnson, feel better. Absolutely. The tempo better. The ability to score quickly. No quit in the 53 men on the roster. Building block game for sure. Get Fields healthy to squish the fish. Now, you could argue that that's maybe Tyrod Taylor is the better option to win. I don't know. I mean, I think we all want Justin Fields to be the better option. And hopefully we find out against Miami. I feel like that's a real good game to get Justin Fields back in the lineup, healthy and against a team that's not very good.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, Tyrod didn't play well enough for there to be a real QB controversy, I would say, which is probably good. Ultimately for the Jets, so they don't have to deal with that for a little bit. Justin Fields, this season is about figuring out if Justin Fields can be their quarterback beyond this year. We've seen one really good game. We've seen one really terrible game. And that's why it was unfortunate that he wasn't able to play this week, because I think it would have been a good opportunity for him. But this next week, it's big for him. It's big for this team, this defense. The Dolphins are not going to be an easy team to defend, even if you don't think they're good. They have a lot of talent on that offense. So I'm very curious to see how this team responds to this. They have an extra day to rest, get healthy. If they don't have Quincy Williams and Jermaine Johnson, I am very, very concerned. But we don't know. Maybe the extra time will help those guys come back in time. So we'll see.
And we will have more on that later in the week as we get you ready for the Dolphins coming up on Monday night. Thank you for tuning in to the Flight Plan Podcast. This is the 4-down edition, wrapping up a not a moral victory with the Tampa Bay Bucs. Zach, good luck heading to the airport.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk to everybody soon. Bye.